and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, open your Bibles to 1 Peter 5, where we're still in the consideration of verse 4. 1 Peter 5, 4. Something that is not generally communicated, obviously, and appreciated by the religious crowd is that this fact, there are three adjustments to God that all members of the human race is before them, at least volitionally. The first adjustment is the big one in the sense of what it delivers the individual from, and that's the salvation adjustment. It is an adjustment from being under spiritual death and becoming a bona fide forever child of God through one act alone, one's initial faith and belief in Jesus Christ. That puts the individual in the plan, locks them in for all eternity. The second adjustment is illustrated here also on the overhead. It's called the rebound adjustment. And this is what is not taught. Generally speaking, they might say you need to confess your sins, but they don't get into the nitty-gritty of it. When you are out of fellowship through one sin, you are being ruled by your STA. You may be a nice person or not. It doesn't matter. You're out of fellowship. One mental attitude sin. Bam! Worry. Worry, fear, anxiety. You're to cast those cares on the Lord and trust in Him. Okay, rebound, confession, gets you back in fellowship. Like washing your hands, it has to be done over and over and over again if you're going to maintain hygiene. So rebound, one step. And it doesn't require any works at all. The first two adjustments are works-free. No deeds are required to make it up. You just name it, and you're back in fellowship. In the second adjustment, you're either quenching or grieving the Holy Spirit at any pinpoint moment in your life, or you are filled with the Spirit. It isn't how you feel as such. It's doing that adjustment. The third adjustment, not illustrated in the diagram here, is the maturity adjustment. Now, that's where works comes in. But it includes faith or belief in the truth and application as is appropriate. And if you do that, then you will grow spiritually from an immature believer, a baby believer, needing milk, basic doctrine, to a mature believer. And the three stages of growth are the infant stage, the in-between adolescent stage, and the adult. As in the human realm, we grow under normal conditions, we should, mentally and physically, and go to that level. So this is your opportunity to always be checking yourself and not distracted about who's here, who isn't, what's up, or anything else, or what you're going to do afterwards, or some test you're under. This is the time to deal with. This is the time to focus on the information at hand. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, since man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from you, we have assembled ourselves together to study this information relative to our union with Jesus Christ under ultimate sanctification. Bless our time together. In Christ's name, amen. All right, ultimate sanctification is the ultimate goal, to get a resurrection body. The timing of that, of course, is left into the Lord's hands. I have my own idea, with regard to the time of year, the time in the year, whenever year it is. Hopefully it's this one. But anyway, I believe that it will be on the Jewish Feast of Trumpets. This year, October the 3rd. Ish. Our time is a little bit different from Israel's. We're 8 hours behind them. So you can figure out what time it is in Jerusalem by adding 8 hours to right now. And of course, they, in the biblical sense, their day started at 6 p.m. and started the next day, whereas ours is at 12. Anyway, in this section we were dealing with, it's information that Peter was inspired to write and to include some exhortations and observations with regard to the shepherds that were over the local areas specified in this letter, scattered throughout those provinces. And they obviously needed spiritual leaders under the analogy of ancient care for sheep required a shepherd to be with them during the day hours, where that's where the sheep would be released from their enclosure, their protective nighttime closure, where they could go out and graze and feed and water, and he was there to oversee them and protect them from predators, as well as just generally taking care of them. And we've gone over some of the principles that, of course, in our day and time, and has been this way for quite a while, are violated. And one of the violations is, I gave you John 10, the individual shepherd has his individual sheep, and they know his voice, his cadence. And the shepherds came to the enclosure, and they called out their sheep, and they went off for the day and came back and put all the sheep in there. That'd be something to see, to observe, that the sheep would actually respond to one fellow, and anyone else they would more or less run from. God has established for each believer a right shepherd, right pastor, teacher. This is violated, obviously, everywhere. So, in this regard, those that do it right, and they're going to be really few. I mean really few. Not that a lot of people got started right, but fell flat on their face. I'm talking about individual pastor teachers. I'm talking about somebody that actually has the gift, the actual gift of pastor teacher given to the church. Necessary to have a viable environment for someone who is positive to the truth and wants the truth. They come of their own free will and listen to their right pastor teacher. Even if you visited another doctrinal church, if you could find one, you could, but you might have to travel a ways. You can visit, obviously. But that is not my right pastor. I know my right pastor. I didn't make up John chapter 10. It's right there in front of you to reread it if you need to. But Christians today are bouncing all over the place, needless to say. Churches go through one pastor, then they get another one, and then on and on. So they obviously don't take this seriously. All right, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you, this is contingent on following his advice in verses 1, in those verses here, verses 1 through 3. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading wreath of glory. And what all that involves, it is the highest distinction bestowed on a believer. And we went through this and we looked up some verses elsewhere in the New Testament dealing with this translated crown. And it has as its background this Greek word, we get our name Stephen, Stephanos. It is the victor's wreath bestowed upon winners in the different events of the ancient Olympics. That's the background. The Bible is interpreted in the time in which it was written. In the time in which it was written, the Olympic Games were in progress. In the big one was, of course, Athens. Also, there was there's one in Corinth. So athletics and performing, and then the winner, they didn't have a second or third place. Even if it was a foot race, they had one winner, and that person stood up, and judges bestowed upon him the distinction of this wreath. There were certain perks that went with it as well. We don't need to get into it. You can go read up on it. This wreath of glory here, the unfading wreath of glory, actually. This unfading, we notice the words here, unfading. All rewards and distinctions bestowed upon humans in time for achievements, we're dealing exclusively here with sports, all those kind of things fade with the passage of time. They may keep records, but time goes and elapses, and they're no longer the recipient of one of these. They're no longer in the limelight because we're moving on. So all other distinctions fade with the passage of time. Honors, rewards, etc. People get old, people die, people forget. The whole thing fades. This wreath of glory is available to all believers who complete their time on earth according to the rules laid down in the Word of God, as per 2 Timothy. So I'm up here to show you how you can get yours. Don't worry about, well, I haven't been on sound doctrine that long. It doesn't matter. If the rapture occurs, you're locked in. God, the Lord will judge that. Paul, at the end of his ministry, facing certain martyrdom at the hand of Nero, both Peter and Paul were martyred in Rome. Uh, 68 A.D. 2 years up from that would be the dispersion of the Third Commonwealth by the Romans. Well, Nero didn't fare so well either. He died that year too. I think at his own hand. Because Paul says here, I'm in 2 Timothy 4, Paul says here, writing his final letter to his son in the faith, who was pastoring in the big church or the church at Ephesus. And Paul, referring to his soon exit from this life, he says, "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering." You have to know what a drink offering. A drink offering under the law was, you took some perfectly good wine and you poured it out like it was wasted, in a sense. It wasn't consumed. They just poured it out. It's a drink offering. It's another one of those offerings of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. A drink offering. For I'm being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. We're going to see that in 2 Peter 2. In other words, the time of my departure has come. Like someone says, oh, when's your plane leave? Well, it's at this time. This is my departure date. He's talking about his death. My departure. I'm out of here. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. We're in a fight. The Christian life is a struggle, a fight against the forces of darkness and our own sin nature and predilections. So in that sense, it's a fight. As in any fight, that doesn't mean it's all heavy and crazy. Sometimes it gets that way, as when Christians are persecuted and so forth, or big tests that befall believers. Paul persevered through this good fight, he calls it. I have finished the course. That's an athletic metaphor. I have kept the faith. Here, faith is used in the sense of Bible doctrine. In the future, there's laid up for me the wreath of righteousness. It goes by a number of names in your Bible. Wreath of righteousness is the one here. Because you have to maintain righteous norms and standards, the difference between what is true and false, what is right and wrong, etc., righteous standards based on Scripture, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Paul's dying grace was, he knew before he checked out that he had qualified. He knew that. All he went through, all he experienced from his conversion, in which in his call to be the 12th apostle and the replacement for the failed Judas, he was told that you're going to be at the top of the list in terms of suffering. So he looked at it, he embraced it. Will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. That's that one, and other one here. Well, I gave you this one, but I'll give it again. 2 Timothy 2:5. If anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win. Here's a synonym for this wreath. The prize. The prize. All that involves in that, we have to wait to see why the Bible speaks so highly of it. Unless he competes according to the rules. You hear people in the Olympics and different things got disqualified. They violated some rule, let's say. So the rules are the marching orders from Bible doctrine. The royal imperatives for the Christian life, for the royal priesthood. An imperative is exactly that. We are to conform ourselves to the directive will of God through the hearing of Bible doctrine scattered all through Scripture. And not neglect it and put it in front of people so that believers can be challenged to apply the doctrine they learn. The crown, as it's translated in the English versions, the word crown in the Greek is diadem. So I will still use the word, but you understand that part. So the crown represents the highest and most distinguished category of phase 3 glory, or SG3. SG3 is surpassing grace blessing in the afterlife. The awards package. For any applications you are making as a believer in fellowship, everyday chores, going to work, suffering something, helping someone, plying under your gift, etc., etc., you get a reward for that if you're in fellowship. It is also called the crown of righteousness, which we just saw. In James 1:12, the crown of life. So it's consistent through Scripture. There is a top award. It's like whatever, you know, in sports today, what's the highest that this type of sport and the participants in it can attain to? Some trophy, some currently in the Olympics, you know, the gold medal, so forth. It's called the crown of life in James 1:12. Blessed is a man, a person, who perseveres under testing. For once he has been approved, he'll receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now, as I've emphasized over and over again, just saying you love God and love the Lord, you love him if he said, you love me if you hear and keep my words. I mean, you could just you talk by itself. People can open their mouths and say they love you, and it's quite a different story as to what they really are. It's you show it by your actions. It's called the crown of life, James 1:12, Revelation 2:10. This is writing to the church at Smyrna in Asia Minor, a church that received nothing but commendation. And So Revelation 2:10. This church was informed by the Lord through this letter that they were going to go through 10 days of intense testing. 10. Guess who monitors testing in the form of persecution from the people in the town? The authorities. They're giving a heads up. You're going to hit day one, and you know at the end of day 10, it's over, because you know who controls history. Not our detractors. They can be checkmated, and are. But they are allowed, from time to time, to persecute Christians. Do not fear what you're about to suffer. You don't want to be in this out of fellowship and worrying individually. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison. You're going to be put in jail. The devil does not refer to the devil. It refers to his agents in that town. So you know when the devil is mentioned, who's ultimately behind it. So that you will be tested. And you will have tribulation for 10 days. This church represents a period in which Christians in the Roman Empire, through the empire, sponsored by the Roman government in Rome, were being persecuted in a severe persecution. And there were 10 persecutions in church history. There were 10 persecutions by the Romans. Over Christians. They were broken up by 10, 1, and then somewhere down around 2, and so forth. That's why this is in here. Be faithful until death. Some lost their life, apparently. And I will give you the crown of life. So you get through this, and if any of you the church didn't go out of existence. They didn't kill them all. But there were those who were targeted. This church suffered, the Lord told them up front, I know your tribulation and your poverty. This could have been also the result of job persecution. I know this. But you are rich. And what counts? You're rich. You just haven't cashed in on it yet. But you're rich. It's like, I can't get my hands on it yet, but I have a $10 million inheritance. And when I get to a certain age, I can access it, would be my illustration. I'm not saying I do. I'm just saying if someone said that. So you are rich, but it doesn't, you're not accessing it yet. But there will be when you will access it. SG3 is kind of hard to get over to people because we don't have a frame of reference for what kind of rewards and what kind of things we're going to get in a resurrection body when a resurrection body doesn't need shelter, food, though you will be in those things. What is it exactly? I know in the temporal realm what nice things are. Anybody who's made observant knows that. I know this, but you're rich. And the slander by those who say they are Jews and are not. Well, that's a fun one to deal with. The one view has it that these Jews are really Jews, but they're not saved. No, I don't think so. That didn't make sense. Jews are Jews, whether they are believers or unbelievers. These are people who are saying they are Jews, but they're Gentiles. They adopt Jewish customs. This has been known in history. The Khazarians, that's in another area up there, Khazars. These were pagans, Gentiles, who adopted Jewish customs, Sabbath, circumcision, and pretended to be Jews. They're quite evil, by the way. So you got that in the world today. That there are those who claim to be, but they're not. But are a synagogue of Satan. Now, the other synagogues weren't called a synagogue of Satan, per se. They're just a synagogue. It's a neutral environment, whatever they do in those synagogues. Jesus was in a synagogue. He preached in a synagogue. He had one in his hometown. They didn't like what he had to say. And they were going to kill him. So the synagogue of Satan is more like a clique of people who get together and have these plans to do whatever they want to do. Subvert whole nations. One guy calls it the Khazarian Mafia. And they're rich. And they have these plans. So that's the synagogue of Satan hasn't gone away. I'd expand on that one. This one I like. The crown of boasting, 1 Thessalonians 2. Paul says, for who is our hope or joy or crown of exaltation? Exaltation can be translated boasting. He says, who is our hope? Who is our joy and crown? These are the spiritual leaders, those that, like Paul, that ministered to the Thessalonians in time? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at His coming? For you are our glory and our joy. See, that'll be the focus point. Those Thessalonians that make it on the other side, they will be classified as converts and believers who thrived under the ministry of Paul and company, and they will be your joy. See, there they are. There's my evidence. So those that are getting the crown that are associated with me in time. It's called the prize, as I said. Crown of boasting. We're gonna at the Bema seat. Those of us that get there and get there in the right way, we're gonna celebrate like mad. We are going to, as they say, let our hair down. We are going to cut loose. We're not trying to rub it into those over there that are hanging with their heads down. It's just natural that when an athlete, it's announced that they got the crown, they got the gold or silver or bronze, in our case, that they are very happy and hugging each other and celebrating. That's natural. They put all this work and effort and toil into this event, and it happens. The one that's most publicized right now, or appears to be, is gymnastics. Those girls. Biles, there's Giles. They really got good personalities. They're just fun to watch. And the things they do, the flip she did off of that thing, unbelievable. Well, she didn't just, you know, she worked a long time to be able to do that. And I'm sure she had her setbacks in her career. I like that one. All the goofy stuff that's going on in the Olympics, notwithstanding. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one? See, there's background to the ancient Olympics. But only one receives the prize. Run in such a fashion that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control. You can't just be running around out here pursuing all kinds of stuff. You've got to have your house and your life in order. Self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath. See, they translate it wreath there. But we, an imperishable. And then he uses another event, boxing. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. Okay, that's track. That's without an aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, hitting my target. When a pastor hits his target, it's when he has the doctrine correct that he's teaching. He's hitting his target. If I explain a doctrine to you, then I'm not flailing at the air. If I had something wrong, which I've had and had to correct, then I was flailing at the air. I box so you conserve your energy. But I discipline my body, make it my slave. So that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. In other words, he recognizes that he has a future ahead of him and he could have messed this up. But he didn't, of course. But he's talking here earlier on in his apostolic career. Philippians 3. So this isn't, this is, uh, Now, there's a lot of ground rules involved. You can fall flat on your face, get under your STA, do something stupid, but you can recover. You can come back here to Maranatha Church after a long hiatus, absence, and lock back in and get on track. We call that your recovery, your spiritual recovery, or reversion recovery, whatever you want to call it in that regard. This is done in the Bible. This is taught through Scripture. The way you disqualify yourself is if you end your life in that state. That's a part of the built-in grace of God. So you can reestablish yourself in the spiritual race, get back on track, and finish in good order. Okay, Philippians 3:14. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Synonyms for the rapture. Upward call. We're going up. As in vertical. When the trumpet blows. We're going up. Whatever you're doing, wherever you're at, whatever your condition, you're going to go up. Leave it all behind. Oh, you'll take your body with you, but it'll be redone. For those of us that are, well, we all need improvements. I don't care if you're in great shape. We all need improvements. It'd be like taking a car that's a rust bucket out of a place out here where they dumped them and realizing that it was a classic in its day and bringing it back and restoring the whole thing. They do that all the time. It's amazing. All the money and effort they put in to the restoration of some of these junkyard cars. Okay, so that's my illustration for the day. No matter how beat up you are, no matter what the condition of your body is as a result of other aging and other factors. Colossians 2:18 reads, the Colossians were under attack by a certain type of individuals. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize. See, in this case, it was people coming in that were promoting asceticism, extreme self-denial, giving up all this stuff. That's legitimate. It could be anything. There's religions in the name of Christianity that have given up marriage as nuns and priests, giving up this and that. Don't eat this on Friday. Where'd you get that? And I got a verse in the New Testament that said Jesus said declared all food clean. Under the law, there were certain types of meat that you were not supposed to eat, notable of which is pork. That's been lifted. We are not under the Mosaic ritual code. Got it? And that includes tithing. I had someone call up here the other day. They got the wrong church. But they left a message and I answered it. You never know. And they wanted their statement sent to them, their financial statement, because they joined this church. And in order to join this particular church, they had to sign something that said that they would faithfully pay 10% of their income, no matter what. And they wanted that for tax purposes. Yeah. Isn't that great? I said, now, I was in a church that did tithing, but they didn't make you sign anything to join the church. If you join the church, see, it's like, what are they going to do if you don't? So we're not under tithing. We're not under the Sabbath. We have a Sabbath. You know what it is? Faith rest technique. It's in Hebrews. Of all the things these Christians did that could be criticized, they were never criticized. Oh, you're violating the Sabbath. Guess what? The Sabbath did not come in to be law officially until Sinai. You say, well, Adam rested, God rested on the seventh day. Yes, but he didn't tell Adam and Eve, every Saturday you've got to cool your heels and not do anything. He didn't tell them that. Wasn't under that. It's always a good idea not to be a workaholic and have at least a day of rest in your routine as a human being. But that isn't it either. The Jews were to cease from their normal activities of work and so forth on our Saturday. They violated it. And then they took it and they went to extremes with it. You couldn't help someone that got hurt on Saturday. What? Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man. Man wasn't made for the Sabbath. That becomes legalism and oppression. Yes, you could rescue somebody on that day, help them. And it might involve a bunch of work. Oh, anyway, we're not under the Sabbath deal. Well, oh, so what Christians say? Oh, it's not Saturday, it's Sunday. So you can't mow your grass on Sunday, huh? After church. Of course you can. We're not under that. So, in this regard, let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement. Some of the extremes you read about these people went through. Because they had a sin nature and they wanted to, so they would lay out in the open. They would suffer in bad weather, some of these ascetics. So they were coming in there and telling these Christians, you know, you can't do this, and you can't eat this, you can't whatever. And the worship of angels. I've seen examples of that. Taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. A lot of these visions, taking his stand on these things, they make up stuff. When I used to watch, for laughs, Christian television, TBN and those, I just sit there. The things they would say and nobody would even flinch. These fakes would make this stuff up. Say they died and went to heaven and came back. Nobody even flinched. Inflated without cause. See, if you do something great or spectacular or something, you can be inflated with cause. I did that. I acquired that. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to be humble about it. God got it for me. But inflated without cause. No basis for what they're saying. If you didn't go to the moon, you're inflated without cause. If the moon is actually where they say it is and you actually went there and came back, then you could be inflated with cause. That's my illustration. They're inflated without cause. Who wants to live like that? Who wants to make claims of something they never did, accomplished, or experienced? That's how some people, that's what they do. Inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. STA-driven mentality. And not holding fast to the head, that's Christ, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. Okay, that works its way out in the local church. We did 2 Timothy 2:5, or simply crown 1 Corinthians 9:25, Philippians 4:1, Revelation 3:11. The crown and prize are one and the same thing, noted in those verses. The background to these references to the wreath was the athletic games held in Roman times. Winning an event qualified the victor for a wreath and associated perks. 25, Peter highlights the character of the crown or wreath by describing it as that which does not fade away, or unfading. And that's a Greek adjective. Amarantinos. Peter probably refers to actual flowers from which some wreaths were made. The adjective is formed from the name of an actual flower, the amaranth. And that's the citation from that Greek author. The meaning is the same as 1 Peter 1:4. The believer's phase 3 inheritance is the everlasting glory and honor that falls upon those who have faithfully adhered to Bible doctrine in phase 2. We have a separate doctrine of SG3 where you can get the details on it. While all believers will enjoy phase 3, the afterlife and a resurrection body, there will be distinctions based on compliance or non-compliance with the imperatives of Bible doctrine. Some will be saved so as through fire, they will have no rewards. That would be one extreme clear over here. Some will have a few. Some will have a bunch, but then they peel off at the end and don't get the crown. Some won't have as much because they didn't have the time and grade, but they'll get the crown. As if someone walked in here off the street and plugged in here and the rapture occurred in 2 months. Just say that. I didn't say it would. I said if it did. I hope it does. That's the way it is. So the glory of phase 3, unlike temporal acquisitions, will never be diminished due to time and circumstances. 32, Peter reinforces the argument of Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:25 that athletes compete for a corruptible crown, but we for an incorruptible. All right, I'll let you have your break. We'll go have a food.